Lesson 14, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Part 1. God is determined to execute His plans. He started creating man, giving him a beautiful earth for a home, and then this man fails him over and over again by thinking that he does it all himself. Thinking, boy, I have made it. Even today, when God works wonderfully through a person, that person so easily thinks that it was all his own doing. Man just wants to forget that everything is a gift from God, his Father, who cares for him. You see, we are so incapable, but become so capable when we allow God to work through us and when we acknowledge Him in humility. Paul writes about this already at the beginning of his teaching masterpiece of Romans. Here is chapter 1, verse 18 through 23. I have quoted it before, but it is so vitally important that you may find it in time to come quoted again. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, because God has shown it to them. In other words, man wants to forget the truth about God in an ungodly way. If men look really good into their heart, they can see what God has shown them about themselves. Paul goes on. Since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful, but they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. The key word here is because they did not glorify God as their Creator God, nor were they thankful to Him. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, like birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. So, man does not only deny God his honor and thankfulness that he deserves to receive from us, but by our sinful nature we even bring him down to a level lower than ourselves. We made him into a thing, into statues. We made him into an animal of some sort. That is wicked indeed. A deceitful human heart, angry about how it has been treated in life, blames God too often, and becomes capable of any evil scoffing at our wonderfully loving, gentle, and patient servant Creator God and Father. We need to look at ourselves for our troubles. Once we understand that He always wants to forgive, even while we are still angry with Him, we can only be thankful and praise Him in awe for His long suffering with us. Is this not exactly what Jesus did while hanging on the cross? People were scoffing and laughing at Him, thinking that they had won over Him. Yet He prayed to His Father, "Forgive them, because they do not know what they are doing." The Pharisees, the religious leaders of Israel, were not victorious over Him as they thought. he had conquered Satan to give those very same scoffers the opportunity to be saved. Well, now that we have a picture of the nature of our wonderful God, let's praise him. Every time mankind walks away from him again, God makes a new plan. First, God made his covenant with Adam and Eve about her seed crushing Satan's head. Next, he made his covenant with Noah to start over with Noah's offspring. Then God takes the next step by setting Abraham apart for his continuing redemption plan that he had promised already to Adam and Eve and to Noah. He just will not change promises he made before. He can be totally trusted. He is faithful. Even Abraham's family has been worshiping self-made gods already in the form of idols and statues. To allow Abraham to hear God well, God calls him to leave his family. We read in Genesis chapter 12, the first verses. Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Questions to discuss for a moment. Do you notice that God is thinking here of all the families of the earth? Did God not promise to Adam and Eve and to Noah to bless all their descendants? Can you see God here still working on that plan through Abraham now? Can you see how our Father continues his salvation plan today for you and me? Let us thank our wonderfully loving and faithful Heavenly Father God. God now reveals his nature and plans to Abraham, but in the future also to a people he wants to set apart for himself, Abraham's descendants, the nation of Israel. Abraham obeyed God and left his family for a land God would show him. And we read from Genesis 13, starting verse 14. The Lord God said to Abraham, "Lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are. Look northward, southward, eastward, and westward, because all the land which you see I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Rise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you." Then Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre. They are near Hebron, and there he built an altar to the Lord. God promised to make Abraham into a great nation, and Abraham believed God, moved to a better place to live, and he was thankful to God by building him there an altar to make thank offerings to his God. The heart of it all is that he believed God. We read now from Genesis 15, starting at verse 1 and further on. The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." But Abram said, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing that I have no child, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir." Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from you, from your own body, shall be your heir." Then he brought him outside and said, "Look now toward the heavens and count the stars, if you can do that." And God said to him, "So shall your descendants be." And Abram believed in the Lord, and God accounted this to him for righteousness. Do we see how we can please our God by believing what he promises? Then God said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit." And Abram said, "Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it?" So God said to him, "Bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." Then he brought all these to him and cut them in two down the middle, and placed each piece opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds in two. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. Now, when the sun was down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and see, horror and great darkness fell upon him. Then God said to Abram, "Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs. They will serve the people there, and they will afflict them for 400 years. And also the nation whom they serve I will judge. Afterwards they shall come out with great possessions. Now as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age, but in the 4th generation your descendants shall return here, because the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete." Now discuss these points, please, one at a time, okay? Abram believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. God gives Abram a clear picture of the future of Abram's descendants, so that when it happens, they will know that they are in God's plan for them. Does God have a plan? Can you see that God has all kinds of plans, and that he wants us to be just like him? He wants us to have also many plans for our future under him. And we read on, "And it happened that when the sun went down and it was dark, look, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. And on the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, 'To your descendants I have given this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates.' Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maid servant whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, "See now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go into my maid servant. Perhaps she shall obtain children for you." And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. And here again a question or two. How must God have felt about this lack of trust of Abraham? If God told him clearly about a son, why should he help God? Why should he not let God take care of it? Does God need our help so that he can keep his promises? Now we go on in Genesis 16, verse 3. Then Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, so he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. See, there it is again. A person is successful and thinks that it is her doing. Can a woman choose to become fruitful and become pregnant? Why should she be arrogant at Sarai? Why can't she just do what is the right thing and give all the glory to God and praise him and thank him? Then Sarai said to Abram, "My wrong be upon you. I gave you my maid, and when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between you and me." So Abram said to Sarai, "Indeed, your maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please." And when Sarai dealt harshly with her, Hagar fled from her presence. Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. And the angel said to her, "Hagar, Sarai's maid, where have you come from, and where are you going?" And Hagar said, "I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai." The angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit yourself unto her hand." Then the angel of the Lord said to her, "I will multiply your descendants exceedingly, so that they shall be not countable for multitude. Look, you are with child, and you shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord God has heard your affliction. He shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brothers." Then Hagar called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees," because she said, "Have I seen him who sees me?" And Hagar bore Abraham a son, and Abraham named his son Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to him. Here are some questions to discuss now. Abram had trusted God in the beginning so well. Why could he not continue trusting God to provide him with a son by his wife? Is it good to do things for God and help him a little if he does not keep his promises in our time? Should we keep waiting for God to keep his promises to us in his timing? What are the consequences of Abram not waiting for God to act? Abram's sin of not trusting God here creates deep conflict in his home. Ishmael is born because of lack of trust in God. He is not the son of God's promise. Could this have made Ishmael angry and bitter later in life? We read that he became a wild man, a fighter, and he had many enemies. He is the father of the Arab peoples. Could this be the reason why Muslims even today still hate God's people Israel so unexplainably? Or is it unexplainably? Could it be that Satan is behind this Muslim hate for Israel? Could it be that Satan does not want the nation of Israel to become successful and to be a servant of God, listening to the God of Abraham? Are we better than Abraham? This lesson about Abraham will continue.